Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Well, today I have, I believe, a word for our church that I think that will be encouraging, that will also bring revelation in certain areas, because what we see going on in our world ought to concern us. But our response to it, if biblical, won't let us live in fear or condemnation. See, the Christian has to respond different than the world does. But what's going on in our world right now, I'm a little concerned about, because I'm not fearful of it. I'm watching what's going on, and I'm knowing that the church has the answer. And let me just take it a step further. Our country had the answer. This country was formed with an understanding of who God was, who God is, and who God will always be. And we've lost, in a lot of ways, in our public forums, that happening on a daily basis. As human beings in the natural, we put our trust in a lot of things. We really do. We trust the doctor to diagnose our health properly. And we put trust in doctors. We trust that the pilot, when we get on a plane, is thoroughly equipped to fly and land that airplane. And you don't even know him. But you put your trust in him, don't you? I mean, your whole trust is in him when you go on that. We trust our teachers to educate our children properly. And oftentimes, we don't really know the teachers' backgrounds or anything about them. We trust that the postal service will send and deliver our mail. We even trust healthcare providers, insurance companies, so much that we're willing to send them our money each month so that they'll take care of us and let us live worry-free about our homes, our cars, our property, and that if there was a health crisis, that they would step up and take care of us. We put our trust in a lot of things. But when it comes to our church, when it comes to our leadership, when it comes to ultimately our God, we have a hard time putting trust there. And I don't know why. I've found that over years that's really been the case. I mean, do we really trust God to hear our prayers? Do we trust that the pastor really has the best interest in heart for the church? For the worship team, for the school, for the small groups, for the men's groups. Do we really have trust that our leadership of those groups and those things has the best interest in heart for the people that are on those teams or that are a part of what's going on? See, does the church really, the people of the church, do they trust that the ministry of the church has no hidden motives and that we want to further the cause of Christ? If our secular nation can put "In God We Trust" on our money, where has our trust gone? And I've thought about this a lot. I mean, in 1956, we adopted as the official motto of the United States the phrase, "In God We Trust." And that phrase has appeared on U.S. coins since 1864, on paper currency since 1957. The origin of the phrase, I want you to know, is right out of the Bible. In God we trust. In God we trust. Psalms 20, verse 7. Some nations boast of their chariots and horses, but we boast in the name of the Lord our God. See, it may not be a direct "In God we trust," but in some translations, that's exactly what it says. "In God we trust." Psalms 56, 1 through 4. "Oh God, have mercy on me, for people are hounding me. My foes attack me all day long. I'm constantly hounded by those who slander me, and many are boldly attacking me. But when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God. So why would I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me?" That's the Christian response. What can someone, my trust has got to be in God. Psalm 62, verse 5. Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I cannot be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He's my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him. Our God is our refuge. In God we trust. I think we could just get a lot solved if we would get back to the fact here in the United States of America that it's in God that we trust. But what has happened is this phrase has just kind of gone to, yeah, in God we trust, and we know it's there, but we don't live it, we just see it. We just see it. I mean, it's just something I understand that it's there. See, the idea of in God we trust was a very significant part of the founding of our country. And here's why. Because it was a significant part of the founders of our country. And the reason why we're not seeing this applicable in today's world is because it's not applicable in the lives of people that live in this world. The Star Spangled Banner, written in 1814 by Francis Scott Key. I love that he put this in the Star Spangled Banner. And it's not in a verse you hear all the time, but it says, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And I just, trust has always been and always will be a major issue of human existence. In marriages, it's foundational. With kids, we try to get this in them at a very early age to be trustworthy. And if you have a child that is not trustworthy, you are in misery. Time and time again, because you don't know if what they're saying or what they're in society. If you don't have people in leadership that you know that they put their trust in God, then where is your trust in them? If your trust is in God, how can you follow someone who's not trusting God? Trust is a major issue of human existence. Well, what does trust mean? Trust means belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of. Belief in the reliability that the person who says what they're saying is saying the truth. Their ability, their strength. The noun form of trust means a firm belief in reliability, in truth, in ability, in strength of someone or something. When we are saved, there is a freedom to put a faith, a trust in a holy God. Your faith and your trust can come in God. That gives us direction, it gives us blessing, it gives us hope, and it gives us a future. And what halts that is when your trust gets off of God. And then there's uncertainty. What's going on in the United States of America? Uncertainty. What's going on in churches across our country? Uncertainty. Why? Because we've taken our trust off of God and we've put it either in people, in programs, in things that are going on. And my encouragement this morning to what I'm going to talk about for the next 30 minutes is get your trust off of people, programs, and circumstances and get it in God. We've got to trust in God. Trust in God. He is going to be our reliability. He's going to be our truth. He is going to be our ability, and he's going to be our strength. So many after salvation, after they get saved, and we've all been there, they have a difficult time trusting God to see them through a situation. It happens oftentimes. And for a comparison, you know, after the Civil War, many of you have studied and know a little bit about it, slaves were given their freedom. They were given their freedom, but it took them generations to learn to live free. It took them a long time. See, you're excited about getting saved. I get heaven. I now have promises that are available to me. I have blessings. And you start getting a little glimpse of this. But you've got to learn to live a whole new life. And there's a learning that has to take place. You know how to live as you've always lived. And your trust was in certain things that you knew that were reliable. Even though every once in a while they may let you down, you tried to put trust in something that wasn't trustworthy. God is the only thing that has 100% trustworthiness. See, you've been enslaved to sin, and you know how to live enslaved to sin. But you've got to get rid of that, and you've got to be able to put your trust in a holy God. We've always lived according to the flesh, and then you get saved, and you're not supposed to live according to the flesh anymore. But you know what? You get up the next morning, you get out of bed, and it's still your flesh that got up. Oh, man, what am I going to do? See, your mind is still programmed to be programmed by the sinful nature. There's a reprogramming that has to take place. Things you looked at, things that you relied on, all of a sudden, now I've got to rely on God. But before, when someone made me mad, I punched them. And now when they make me mad, I'm supposed to remember God, but I still want to punch them. See, there's still flesh that you're fighting. And let me just encourage you, if you're a new Christian, and there are some here this morning, there will continually be a fight against the flesh. But you are not in a fight anymore with the flesh. It's a spiritual fight that is trying to make you stay in the flesh. And the only way you're going to get out of it is your trust in God. I want to take it a step further. Some might say, Pastor, I'm not living a life that's messed up. I mean, I'm not really that bad a guy. Well, we in the church, we oftentimes get comfortable with the life we're living, and we get comfortable with just the way things are. We end up letting our thinking patterns take us and not even realize that our thinking patterns are moving us to where we're losing trust in God. And it's unbeknownst. I mean, we don't really think about it. It's just all of a sudden we're not thinking that we're in that bad of shape, and then we're looking at a socialist country. Why? Because we have a government that we can trust. Now, you're going to laugh about that, but there's a lot of people who think that. Their trust is in the government. Their trust is in the things that are happening here in the United States. It's very sad to watch what's going on in our government. Moral failure, our debt limit, good grief. Our government trying to change the dependency upon God and put it on the government, who now will acknowledge that we are no longer a Christian nation. That's what they're saying. You start looking at what's going on, and just the words that come out of their mouth will say, in God we don't trust. There's a fight going on, and praise God for all the police cars in this part of the country that are putting on the back of their vehicles, in God we trust. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? That's an awesome thing. And so I'm thrilled about that, and my encouragement is we need to do all that we can to encourage them. Just the other day, I was in a restaurant, and I was getting something to order to go, and there was four policemen sitting right there. And I just walked over, and I bought them all gift cards, and I walked right over to their table, and I handed it to all four of them. And I said, I know what you're doing. And I said, well, you don't have to do that. I know I don't have to, but I want to bless you because you bless us. And I love that your motto here in this town is, in God we trust. And I'm encouraged by that. See, what Christians have got to step up and say, this is awesome. And we got to let them know, because there's an adversary and there's fighting going on in the courts trying to say that does not represent our community. And you know what? They're right. Because the Christians aren't even living a life that trusts God. And so they're not going to stand up and say, we got to make sure that we're living the way that we're expecting the world to come to an understanding. So we got to live in a way that encourages, in God we trust. We've got to vote for those that are living a life that are saying, in God we trust. Christian people, we've got to live the life before we can encourage the life. If you're not living in God we trust, well, here's my thing. I can get all about what's going on in the government and our police stations, and in I can get on all of that, but my encouragement today is for the body of Christ, and more specifically the individuals in the body of Christ, because I want to encourage you that there is an influence in our world that's trying to take your trust off of the things of God. And it's not just happening where you work, and it's happening where you work. It's not just happening in your families, but it's in your families. It's not just happening down at the local convenience store, but it's at the local convenience store. It's not just happening in our city councils, but it's at our city council. I mean, you name it, in Springfield, trying to get In God We Trust just put up on the wall by Justin. I'm sitting here looking at what's going on, this attack that's coming against, if you watch anything going on in the news, there is an attack on the phrase, In God We Trust. And you can look it up and you can go, are you kidding me? Why would we not want to trust God? What's the alternative? If you don't want to trust God, who is it that you want to trust? Well, I want to have a relative truth. Have you heard that phrase? It's all based on what relates to you. Well, this is truth for me, but it may not be truth for you. Let me just tell you, there's only one truth, and that's it. So it's right or it's wrong according to the Word of God. But when you take the Word of God out of society, you take trusting in God out of society. And so my encouragement today is, let's find out what's doing that. There are six areas I want to look at this morning. In areas in our life that influence us in our subconscious mind, and it causes us to either trust or not trust in God. And so I kind of want to break this down into six different areas, and these aren't totally the only ones. There'll be other areas. These are just six that the Lord had really spoke to my heart, and I think that it's important that we understand that there is a war going on in your subconscious mind. It's not right in front of you. I don't know what's going on. It's coming in, and it's like a thief trying to steal your trust in God. Number one. Imagination influences our trust. Imagination. We are created with an imagination. I mean, our imagination is a great thing. I love it when I hear kids imagining. Kids got a great imagination. And it's fun. Obviously, we can't let it get out of hand, but it's fun to watch kids and how their imagination will allow them to play out in the woods or enjoy what's going on. I mean, our imagination allows us to build and grow things in our mind. It's awesome. It allows our imagination. We have to conceive it on the inside before we'll ever see it on the outside. You've heard that phrase. So that all happens with the start of imagination. This church, we started imagining a vision in this area, and it started as we imagined this, and it started coming in our mind. Now, it's got to move out of the imagination stage, but that's where things start. The act or power of forming mental images is good. And the devil tries to take everything that is good and pervert it. So here's what has happened. We have a problem going on because we're imagining things are right that are totally wrong. Totally wrong. Turn to 2 Corinthians with me. Y'all here this morning? Good. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Some of you probably have this memorized. Chapter 10, verse 5, says we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Verse 3, we're human, but we don't wage war as humans do. As Christians, we use God's mighty weapons. Mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning. And in verse 5, we destroy every obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. Let me tell you that there is an obstacle that is set up that wants to keep you from knowing God. Well, what do you mean? I know God. I'm a Christian. I'm talking about knowing God to the point you can put your trust in Him. There's an obstacle that don't want you to keep your trust in God. As soon as you get saved. So I just tell people all the time, there will be an attack. Just know that and be ready for it so you can stand against it. Because there'll be an obstacle that wants to keep you from really knowing God. It happens. And how we've got to do that is we've got to capture that rebellious thought that starts exploding in our imagination. We got to capture it. We have some things that will enter our mind, and everybody has them. It's not the ones that enter, it's the ones that hang out. You got to get them on through. Tom Underhill was talking about that when he was here during Fall into Faith. I mean, it's a thought will come in there, and it's the ones you start toying with and playing with, and then those start building, and you've got to recognize, is that thought taking me to the things of God, or is it removing me? And your imagination will either build trust or it will destroy it. Come on, imagination, it's a big deal. We have imaginations that are great for us, but the devil will do everything he can to put an imagination in your mind that will remove your trust in God. What we imagine is vital to the life that we're looking for. Come on, we're all here today because we believe that God has a life for us, and it's an abundant life, and we're trying to remove the thief from stealing, killing, and destroying from us. We don't want him anywhere near us, and so we're here today to hear the word. Well, hear this. Watch your imagination. That when you start running things through that mind, that there are some thoughts that come in and you know immediately need out. That thought's got to go right now, because that's not going to produce a trust in God. That's going to remove my trust in the things of God. That's got to go. But some of them, and this happens in the Christian life all the time, it comes in there and you start thinking about it and you forget to line it up and say, is this producing trust or is this producing frustration and rebellion against the things of God? Run it around in there a while. Run it around. Oh, this isn't a good imagination. This has got to go. And then get it out. Get it out. I've had those, and I thought they were good. At the start of the church, we were singing in a group, and I was traveling all across the country, and the church started getting to a place to where I needed to be here. I really needed to be here earlier than I was, and I was sitting here trying to figure all this out. Well, what entered my mind is I know how to make some money. I'll start another gospel group, and what we'll do is we'll just send them on the road, and that gospel group will start singing and doing different things, and I can manage it from right here. And boy, I ran that over and over in my mind, and I thought, that's a great imagination. That's a great thing. I can do that. And so I even thought, well, maybe I ought to start making some calls. And then I backed up and said, wait, this imagination, before it starts coming out, is it going to produce trust in God? God's just called me to start a church, and I'm getting ready to start a business. Now, maybe I ought to make some calls and run that one through other people before I start letting it get out. And this is what we're going to do. So I made some calls, got some counsel on it, and the counsel was, I don't know, are you starting a gospel group or are you starting a church? Well, both. Then I started thinking, so where's my trust going to be? See, your imagination, real quick, you can answer that. This can be really powerful if you'll hear what I'm saying. Your imagination will either produce a trust in God or it will remove your trust. So your imagination is a big thing. Number two. Goals we have influence us on where our trust is. I love this phrase. I have quoted it my whole life because it got into me at a very early age. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. There's got to be a plan. If you don't have a goal, then you don't have trust in anything or anyone. See, if you have no goal to achieve or obtain the promises of God, then you'll have no trust in Him to deliver them. Let me say that again, because that was an amen, wow moment. That was a place for affirmation and nobody said anything. Here we go. If you have no goal to achieve or obtain the promises of God, then you'll have no trust in Him to deliver them. So you got to get. There's got to be a goal. There's got to be something you're working to get to in the promises of God. There's no peace in your home. I am working towards peace in my home. Therefore, I'm trusting God to bring peace into my home. Then when I walk in my home, I'm going to be thinking about I'm trusting in God. So what comes out of my mouth will either produce trust or not. See, I've got a goal now when I walk in the door because I'm looking for peace in my home. Are y'all, your goals will either produce a trust in God or not. It'd be one of the two. If you don't have any goals in the areas of God, then where is your future with God? It's nowhere. So you start looking to where your next paycheck's coming from. And then you start trusting a job. Well, that'll fail you real quick. Then you start trusting a person. Well, that'll fail you real quick. Then you don't have a job. You don't have anybody with you. And then the next thing you know, you're trusting the government for the check. Yeah, that's where it's coming. Next thing you know, you're voting for a person who don't trust in God. Our trust has got to be in God. Or we're down a road that's like putting us to a place where we're putting our lives in a position where we're surrounded by people who don't trust in God. Unsuccessful people have no goals and they usually accomplish them. So, subconsciously, no trust in the Lord can come from having no goals and no aspiration. Number three, spiritual principles influence us in correct trust. When you have correct principles, you can trust God when it's tough. Well, what are those principles? Let me just give you two, or give you one that encompasses two, is a daily time with the Lord in prayer and Bible study. In prayer and in Bible study. Being responsible as a Christian, getting areas of our life where we take responsibility. I'll give you an illustration. Have you ever been given back too much change? Well, there's two different thoughts you can have there. The first one is, wow, God just blessed me. Or, woohoo, now I got what I need. We can go. Not thinking about who had to lose for you to gain. But you get back too much change and you have filled yourself in the Word of God in your prayer time and you've had your daily time with the Lord. And you're praying and just saying, God, I'm praying your blessing on people. And all of a sudden that change comes back and it's too much. And so you realize that and you turn right back around and you go back in and say, you gave me too much change. Spiritual principle that comes from having your trust in the right place. And so you go back and give that change, and what you don't know is that just saved that person from losing their job. That just allowed them the opportunity to see Christ in action. And they were giving up on people because there's no good people out there, and you turn around and do that, and they're like, I've done this countless times, and I have seen people go, I have never seen anybody do that. And I'm like, you've never... Well, my response is, well, maybe you've never messed that up before. See, maybe you never mess. So just turn around and bless them and don't sit here and put people down. Say, well, it was an accident. There are a lot of people who do that. Praise God. And give them their chance. See, the spiritual principles is what will allow us to trust God enough to not look at that wrong. Whew, that was good. They just got, they're lost my game. Be careful about saying that. They're lost my gain. There are spiritual principles that will come out. Psalms 119:11. Many of you know this. Your word that I have hidden in my heart. If God's word's hidden in your heart, there comes a trust that comes from him. But if his word's not in your heart, then your spiritual principles aren't where they need to be. Therefore, your trust oftentimes is not where it needs to be. Our trust has got to be in God. Let me tell you, if you're starting a new business venture, if you're starting a new job, God better be who you put your trust in. Because in a very short time, the honeymoon period's over. Joshua 1:8, preparing to lead God's kids to live in the promised land. Here's what he said, don't let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. You know, you can't meditate something that's not there. And Sunday's message, for the most part, that won't come into mind on Friday. There better be a daily word going into us that we can meditate. You know, the more that I have made my morning time with the Lord, where I get the word in me and I've got the word going through me, you'll be amazed at how that word will come into play that day. That day, all of a sudden, something will come to your mind. And here's what I found. The more that I read in the morning, the more things during my day that God will bring to my mind what I read that morning. All of a sudden, well, if I'd have just stopped it through, how many verses do I need to read? Enough that you can get through your day. I don't know how much you need to read. Maybe you just need to spend all day there. But we got to get this word in us. Number four, memory. Memory influences us to trust. Memory causes us to act in a positive way or a negative way. The human mind is a real issue. It never forgets anything. Now, it might put it in the hidden corners because some of you go, I forget everything. I mean, I forget where I put my keys 2 minutes ago. I mean, I was looking so hard for my phone the other day, and I went everywhere looking for my phone, and it was in my back pocket. But I never put it in my back pocket, except for I did. And I'd forgotten. I'm just like, memory. But you know, when I found it, you know what happened? All of a sudden, I remembered putting it there. And so I find that memory will move on us in a weird way, and it sometimes can be really frustrating. You can't always recall it, but it's there. But it's there. All programming, let me just tell you this, all programming influences you. Whatever goes in will come out. And sometimes at the inappropriate time. And sometimes at the appropriate time. See, both sides of this. And all of that's based on memory. So you can go right back to three spiritual principles are going to come into us by the word of God. Memory will come out based on the word of God. What are you feeding into you? I find when I listen to talk radio all the time, I can talk about politics, and I'm usually going to give the view that one of the politicians gave, and sometimes that's not the view that needs to be given when it doesn't line up with the Word of God. The Word of God needs to be more in me than anything else so the right thing comes out of me. I'm not saying don't ever listen to talk radio, but you can't do that as a substitute for the Word of God because it'll influence where your trust is. And our trust has to be in God. Therefore, our programming needs to come from God. When trouble comes, what you've been programmed to do will come out. It's just really, it's really important that you get that. Which leads us right into number five. We'll go on. Is habits. Habits. Habits, habitual things that we do. They influence our trust. God did an unbelievable thing when he created us creatures of habit. I mean, we can multitask, or some of us can. We can brush our teeth. We can take a shower. We can shave two-handed. We can cook. We can do all of these things. I am amazed. When I say two-handed, not at the same time. You can use either hand. And some of y'all are looking at me like, what is he talking about? You can use both hands. You are creatures of habit, and you can use. It's just amazing to me. You get saved, though, and some of your old habits every once in a while will still come out. And some of them are bad. Romans 12:2 says we got to renew our mind. We got to renew our mind. Ephesians talks about the washing of the mind with the word. Raising our children, we're trying to raise them into correct habits. That's why at an early age you are asking them every day, did you brush your teeth? In the morning and at night. Has anybody ever heard that, young people? Did you brush your teeth? Yeah, I've heard that. I heard that. I did when I was your age. Did you brush your teeth? Yes. And then they're going to go check your toothbrush and make sure it's wet. We've done it. In our very home, yeah, I brushed my teeth. And some, no, I don't brush my teeth. I like things sticking to my teeth because I can taste them longer. Go brush your teeth. What we're trying to do is we're trying to instill a habit that's good for them. So you can see where habits can be really good. Let me just throw this in. This is just Ashley. I'm not saying that this is out of any part of Scripture specifically. This is an opinion, but I'm just going to give it for a second and take a little side road. This last year, I was thinking a lot about habits and how they can be good or how they can be bad. I mean, a habit is an acquired behavior that is followed until it almost becomes involuntary. I have found it really hard to get into a habit of reading my Bible every day. And I don't know, not by raise of hands, but how many have been there, you know. I mean, I do really good for a while, and then it's just easy to fall out of it. See, a habit is an acquired behavior pattern that becomes involuntary. It's an acquired behavior pattern that becomes involuntary. It's so hard to get the real things of God because it takes work on our part. And here is just Ashley talking, but it's hard to get the things of God into a habit. And I was thinking about that. I mean, I have to consciously make the effort to go to Him in prayer. I have to consciously make the effort. Well, here's why. Because you don't want the things of God to become habitual and involuntary. See, this is just my opinion, but if you're going to have a life that you're called to, if you're going to live according to the ways of God, then yeah, you got to change some old habit patterns, but just changing them doesn't necessarily mean that you'll get into a new habit in the things of God, because there's an adversary and he doesn't want you being habitual with the things of God. And I don't know that God wants us being habitual. I think he wants us being sincere and choosing daily. It's a choice daily. And when the things of God become habitual, then the influence disappears. We're just doing it because we have to. Let me give you an example. Don't let church become habitual. Some people, well, that's just what we do. We just go to church. Now, I'm glad you do. But if it just becomes, well, we just go to church on Sunday, and you don't ever go expecting, believing, building your faith. You don't go coming to church, getting excited, going to give and be a part of what God has here. Then you'll watch your trust start disappear. See, habits can in a lot of ways remove your ability to trust in God. So be careful that you don't get so habitual, even though there's good habits. We got to be ready to get after the life God has for us. You know, some people have habitual friends. They just keep coming. I can't get them away from me. They're just habitual. They just keep. Or you start thinking about something you're going to do and a person comes to mind, especially new saved people. Some they just get saved, and then the next thing that happens is, or they're new in their Christian walk, and there's people that have been saved for years that are still babies in Christ, and understand that may be you. I just started coming to church. I started getting a hold of the things of God. And when you start thinking about doing something, going hunting, going shopping, going here, going there, all of a sudden, there will be a person that immediately comes to your mind. That's a habitual friend. Now, some of them are really good to have the same person coming to mind because they build you. They I understand that. But there are some habitual friends that when you're around them for an hour, you go right back to old habits. You go right back to old thinking patterns. I have some of them, and for years it's been tough for me because they'll call me and my mind goes right back to everything we did and shouldn't have done. So man, there are others that I get around and I'll just spend an hour with them and I'm ready to take on the world. Be careful about habitual friends. Either way, is habits building your trust or they're removing your trust in God? Are y'all seeing what I'm talking about today? The last one that I want to talk about, habits will influence you to trust. But here's the thing. This is the area that I think so many people miss. Because I want to bring this right to the Word. Turn to John with me. Here's why I believe so many Christian people do not trust in God. John chapter 14, verse 16. Actually, start in verse 15. Jesus says, "If you love me, obey my commands. And I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world can't receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later be in you. I won't abandon you as orphans. I'll come to you. See, I read this and I go, Jesus is telling his disciples that he's getting ready to leave. And what he says is, hey, I know that you've had your trust in me. And I know that's a concern because I'm getting ready to leave. I know that's a concern for you. But what I'm telling you is, I'm going to send an advocate. I'm going to send a truth giver. I'm going to send him to you, and he'll reveal all truth. He'll be where you can place your trust. But the problem is, the Holy Spirit is oftentimes not looked at and not relied on and not dwelt. Not anything that we're doing do we bring the Holy Spirit into. And when you don't bring the Holy Spirit, if you don't bring him into your life and he's a daily part of your life, then what happens is you start relying on a truth that didn't come from God. The Holy Spirit of God, he wants to be your helper. He wants to be your advocate. He wants to be someone who reveals truth to you. He wants to be able to give you enough truth that you can trust in God before you trust in anything else. The Holy Spirit can be your answer, church. We know what God does and we know what Jesus is doing, but we leave the ministry of the Holy Spirit on the sidelines. And he's the biggest revealer of truth according to Scripture. There are times that I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm praying and I'm saying, God, right now, I need your help. And then I'll just spend some time building myself up, praying in the Spirit, and then I'm looking at Scripture. And all of a sudden, whoo, it just comes to life for me. And I get a truth out of it, and it impacts my life and gives me the strength to go live my day. How does that happen? Because I'm allowing the Word of God, I'm allowing the Holy Spirit, I'm allowing him access to give me truth, and then I'm able to go out and I'm not placing trust in wrong places. I'm placing my trust in God. Therefore, when this happens, I know that the answer is just around the corner. Not, oh, where's God? He's right there. He was right there this morning. He revealed the truth of this. I'm not surprised when I have an attack. I'm not surprised when I have a flat tire. It's a flat tire. I knew I should have got new tires here a couple months ago. I've been trying to go as long as I could. Now I have to. And oh, it's frustrating. You should have changed the tires when the Holy Spirit revealed the truth you needed to. Well, come on, you know, I didn't even know they were bald. Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? He could have revealed that to you. There are times I have went out to my vehicle and I'm just telling you it doesn't make any sense, but I've looked and I've thought, oh, what happened here? And I never have seen that or I never, and then all of a sudden I'm like, wow, God, thank you for pointing that out to me. Thank you for pointing that out to me. A flat in a car. I don't always look at my tires, but there are times I've walked out and wow, I've got a flat there. I mean, just little things. Little things. But that's what the Holy Spirit will do, is he'll reveal truth. And sometimes you find yourself in a predicament. You're like, what am I going to do? Start praying immediately. Otherwise, you're trying to find trust in someone or something, but God needs to be your trust. And church, if we can get a hold of that in our lives, and we can make that real in our families, in our marriages, with our kids, in our church, then we can affect the community and ultimately affect our country. Y'all get anything out of that today? The ministry of the Holy Spirit. Y'all stand with me today. Six areas: imagination, goals, spiritual principles, memory, habits, the Holy Spirit. I know today was a real teaching time, but I pray that this week this will come to mind for you, because you need to be able to realize that your trust might be in the wrong place. I've been there. And it don't matter where you are in your maturity, there are times that our trust needs to be put back in God. You're trusting in someone or something or a situation, but church, we got to trust in God. We got to trust in God. It'll lead us to the right answer every time. Every time, if our trust is in the right place. Our country is not in the right place because we don't have in our nation the trust in God that's necessary. And it's not going to happen by them starting it. It's going to happen with people who trust God delivering that into that place. So we start right where we're at.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.